Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We got 24 and a half more minutes left here on this program. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. We two are donning, black pullovers because it's Johnny Cash Day.
Yes. I almost wore black pants, but
I did.
You did. You wore them. Yep.
Steve Jordahl
is. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Pretty good, Steve. Steve's got his white button down shirt on today.
I do. But the purpose of that is so I could wear the new paisley tie that Earl and Diane brought me last week. You remember giving this gift on the air?
Yes.
Well, I put it on briefly with the polka dot shirt I had, and it didn't look very good. But today I was determined to wear it and to make it look nice. So Earl and Diane from Arkansas, thank you.
That is a nice-looking paisley tie.
It is.
It is. Very nice.
Yeah, but you're right. You needed a white shirt so that the tie could bring forth its full colors.
Yeah.
Is that the way you would say it, Ed?
I like it. I like what you said.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if it's Johnny Cash Day or not. I just know you and I are both.
It's Black Monday.
We're men in black here.
Remarkable man, Johnny Cash.
Tommy Lee Jones and Samuel Jackson. Or what was that movie?
Samuel Jackson. Men in Black.
Oh, was that Will Smith?
It was Will Smith.
Will Smith, yeah.
Okay, Will Smith.
And Tommy Lee Jones.
All right. So anyway, thanks for listening to American Family Radio. Steve, what is your first story? College football?
Why don't we talk about that? It's not really a news story.
Let's divide our audience. Let's carve our audience up, can we? Just make half of them mad. That's what we're here for.
So do you remember the day back before they had the playoffs when the college football championship was just decided by the writers and they decided who was – there was no playoff game. There was no national championship game. They just said, well, you know, Oklahoma had a they looked like the best season.
They got enough votes.
Well, then they went to this whole thing where they had a national championship game, right? The two top teams, and that was rife for some speculation. Did you put the right two teams in there?
Right.
Well, they've gone now to a four-team playoff, and they're going to go to –
had that for about 10 years now.
10 years, but they're going to go next year to like something like six.
12.
12.
Anyway, they had the four out for this particular year. They had four.
After this weekend, this past weekend, all the – college football conference championships were played, and after they were played, then there's a committee that selects the top four teams in their opinion to go to the playoffs. They have two playoff games, and then the winners of those playoff games meet in the national championship.
Right. And so there were going into the last weekend, there were like five or four undefeated teams. Two of those, Ohio State and Michigan, were playing each other, so there was only going to be three undefeated teams coming out of that day. It was going to be Michigan, Washington, and Florida State were the three undefeated teams. Well, down in the number five position, somewhere down there, number eight, I think, was Alabama. Number seven was Texas. When they had the final rankings out, the first seed is Michigan, the second seed is Washington, as you would expect. The third seed is Texas. And the fourth seed is Alabama. Texas and Alabama having one loss. Texas beat Alabama. Alabama lost to Texas. Texas lost to Oklahoma. But Florida State is still undefeated, and they were not included in the playoffs. And a lot of people were kind of upset about that.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to pay off the committee members more.
A little more.
That's what I would say to Florida State. If you expect to be in the championship, you just need to. It's the way America works. You need to buy them off. Am I wrong?
Tongue in cheek.
Tell me where I'm wrong.
Obviously, we are not accusing the selection committee of being subject to bribery.
Yeah.
But listen, I think Florida State got ripped off. My own personal opinion, I think if you're undefeated and you're the champion
of your conference,
one of the what do they call them, the
Power Five.
You should be in, and I do understand that Florida State's quarterback who really is the engine behind their offense was injured and was not going to play, but you can't speculate on how you think teams will do. If that's the case, I think Georgia should have got back in, because I think Georgia is probably a better team than Washington. So if that's what the selection committee is going to do, we just think this team's better, then Georgia should have been back in the top four, even though they lost to Alabama. Alabama, you know, had a last-second miraculous win against Auburn. You know, so I would say
that Alabama's God's team. What do you say to that?
Some would say the red stands for something else, the crimson.
Yeah, listen.
And some people call him Satan.
Yes.
Instead of Sabin. What do you think, Ed? How spiritual you want to go on this deal here?
I'm going to say I know people who absolutely lost their minds when Alabama got back into the playoff and probably going to go on and win it all. So our Alabama fans who are listeners.
Steve's wife.
Yeah, I'm going to say they have a really good chance of winning it all. There's no real easy way to do this. The 12-team format, which is going to make it almost – these kids are going to – if you run the table and become national champion next year.
You mean in the playoffs?
In the playoff, you're going to be playing 16 or 17 games. That's
are they really? I guess
there's four. There's four rounds.
Are they going to play a 12-team regular season again?
I don't know. That's a good question.
And then conference championships. And yeah, I guess you're right. You could be by the time you end up
winning it all.
Yeah. It felt terrible for Florida State University because they went undefeated, but their star quarterback got hurt and they weren't the same team. That is just the blunt truth. And whether you keep them out for that reason or not, I think this is a situation where, all things considered, there was no two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah.
Florida State deserved to be in, and Florida State without their star quarterback would have got whooped pretty bad.
Yeah.
That's just the way.
But I think it's unfair to the rest of the team,
right?
Florida State,
right?
Who those kids earned the chance to go play in
a
playoff game.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's unfortunate it came to that, but anyway, such it is. Michigan, but you do have a geographic dispersity from around the country. You have, which is what the television people like, you have the West Coast with Washington, you have Texas to the Southwest, you have Alabama in the Southeast, and you have Michigan in the
that will be
in the upper Midwest.
Those will be two great games.
This is the first time the Pac-10 has been, or 12 or whatever it is now, has been in the college playoffs in a long time.
Yeah.
Washington.
Yeah.
Admittedly, those will be two dynamite games.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're a college football fan, you can't wait to watch those games. Yeah. All right. You're listening to
SportsCenter here on American Family Radio.
We're all college football fans, so I had to get the – and it's just some controversy, but we have to get that – we have to get our opinion.
It's what people are talking about.
Yeah.
Many people.
At the water cooler.
At the water cooler today.
All right, Steve, what's your first
hard story?
Yeah.
All right. Well, global warming continues to be the hot topic among
– bring it. I want some more of it.
Hot topic.
Yeah. Well,
hot topic. I like that.
There is a climate conference coming up.
There always is.
It's the 28th conference. It's going to be held in 2023. I'm sorry. It's going to be held this next week.
Uh-huh.
Or no, it's being held now, 30 November to 12 December.
All right, which is it, Steve?
It's being held now in Expo City, Dubai.
Yeah.
It is COP 28 for the 28th conference. And there's a debate going on. The president of this conference is a sultan from the United Arab Emirates named Sultan Al Jaber.
He's a sultan?
That's what they call him.
What is that? Is that like a – do you know what –
have you ever watched Aladdin?
I don't know if he has a magic partner or not.
I've listened to Dire Straits, though. The Sultans of Swing. Is that what we're talking about here?
Well, they'd like to swing him out of the club because during a debate – debate online, it was an online debate between the president was answering questions from some of the people. And one of the ladies, her name is, where did I put it?
Does it really matter?
Yeah, it does. Her name her name is Mary Robinson. She's a former Irish president.
A former Irish president.
She is saying we need to get off of fossil fuels.
Right.
We need to get off now because it's a crisis and we only have like 6 years left before we're dead.
Yes. Oh, right. Oh, my word. You're kidding.
No, that's what you said.
Okay.
So listen to this exchange between, now this is a little bit longer. It's a minute and a half, but this is great. Listen to this exchange between Sultan Al-Jaber and Mary Robinson. Cut seven.
And there is no science out there or no scenario out there that says that the phase out of fossil fuel is what's going to achieve 1.5. 1.5 is my North Star. And a phase down and a phase out of fossil fuel, in my view, is inevitable. It is essential, but we need to be real, serious, and pragmatic about it.
The science is very acute now. We don't have any time. They say 6 or 7 years, and your company is investing in a lot more new fossil fuel, and that's going to hurt women.
Ma'am, you've just accused me of something that is not correct. I'm sorry, I don't take it. Now, I ask you to prove to me.
I read that your company is investing in a lot more fossil fuel in the future.
Yes, ma'am, you're reading your own media, which is biased and wrong. I am telling you, I am the man in charge, and it is wrong, ma'am. You need to listen to me, please.
I'm very pleased to hear it.
It is wrong. You guys write a lie, and you believe it. I am not accepting this. I'm sorry. I respect you, and I do not accept any false accusations. I've been very clear about my position. This is wrong. And you're asking for a phase out of fossil fuel. Please help me, show me a roadmap for a phase out of fossil fuel that will allow for sustainable socioeconomic development. Unless you want to take the world back into caves.
Whoa.
He wouldn't have any of it.
All right. So that was a conference call,
yes,
so to speak, it was a climate change conference, yet another one.
Yeah, 28th.
And the 28th of them. And so the gentleman, although the lady had a deep voice, I mean, she could have. Anyway, but the lady from Ireland and the man from the
Dubai.
Fellow from Dubai, he's a sultan.
Yes.
And he's saying, we need to get off fossil fuels. That's what he said. But we can't do it anytime soon because it's impossible. Practical and impossible unless you want to go back to living in caves.
Yeah.
That's what he ended up with. Did she have a comeback for that? Do you know?
I didn't. No. She probably did.
Irish caves are great.
Irish caves
like that.
Are better than yours.
Huh?
I don't know. I was a little bit in a time crunch, so I stopped recording there after the cave thing. But there really is no response to it. We're not going to die in 6 years. I'm sorry for those of you who are hoping to eliminate all fossil fuels within the next 2 years and go back into caves. We're not going to.
Let me ask you this. At what point will these people who believe in climate change based on carbon emissions or fossil fuel usage, right? When are they going to admit that we've passed the point of no return? Are they forever going to say if we don't do this in 6 or 10 years, the world's going to burn up? Because they say that, and then next year, guess what they'll say? If we don't do this in 10 years. And 10 years from now, we'll be here, and they'll be saying, if we don't do this in 10 years. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right, absolutely.
I would just, if I were them, why don't you just say, let's all live it up and use our fossil fuels because we passed the point of no return.
Well, and they have been making these predictions since the late 90s.
Yes, they have.
Al Gore.
Yeah. Then it was global warming, global cooling, by the way.
Well, that was in the 70s.
70s, yeah.
70s. So to your point, Tim, they do make these predictions, and they make these predictions all the ice in the Arctic will be gone and all this kind of stuff. The sea levels will rise. When Barack Obama was elected in 2008, remember his big grandiose speech celebrating himself as the world's Messiah. Right. He said, now we can, the sea levels will begin to recede.
Well, he is a Nobel Prize winner.
Yes. Week one was an amazing accomplishment.
This is what they're starting to do, though. They're starting to say there's tremendous harm being done right now. We're suffering right now from the climate catastrophe. Not many people see it. I don't know where they're suffering. But they can say just about anything they want. Who's going to push back against them? Because if you do, you're canceled.
Well, this guy pushed back.
Yeah, he did. He got
enough money. Al-Jabbar.
The Sultan did.
Al-Jabbar or whatever.
Excuse me, ma'am. You're wrong.
Yes. I respect you, but right. You should not be driving.
What did she say? What was she saying about us hurting women? What did that have to do with anything?
Well, they need to. This is intersectionality. There were three women on this panel. You only heard from one of them, but there were three on the call. And they were saying that climate change disproportionately affects women and people of color. I'm not sure how they said that, but that's what they said. They put that in there because that makes you more likely to say, oh, we need to do something.
And it makes you a villain if you're opposed to it.
They're more important than white people.
More than that, it makes you a misogynist and a racist.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's all about the labels.
All right. I don't believe in man-made global warming, period.
Well, and this
guy... If the globe's warming, it's warming, and there's nothing you can do about it.
And let me just say, I personally, AFA doesn't have a particular
position on this,
but I personally think it's great. Look for alternative energy sources. That's, electric cars, that's fine. Go for it. But don't mandate these things because, listen, what this man said, and reasonably, you could argue that... he's from Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia, right? Yeah.
Okay. They're big Arab oil Emirates. Producers. You could make the argument that he has a conflict of interest. That's why he's saying what he said on this phone call. However, he did ask this question to Mary Robinson, the former president of Ireland.
He said,
please show me a roadmap for a phase out of fossil fuels that will allow for sustainable socioeconomic development unless you want to take the world back into caves. And I don't think that roadmap is out there.
I think they do want to take the world back in caves. I don't think there is a roadmap either, but part of the suspicion among those of us who do not believe in man-made climate change, the reason that they're pouring billions of dollars into this and pushing this so hard is because it's a socialist plot.
Marxists, the lefties, do want to control primarily, they want to control the world's economy, primarily the American economy, because they hate capitalism.
How do you do it?
Well, why don't we just scare everybody to death with global warming and make it America's fault? Or the West.
Yeah.
Never mind that China is the number one polluter in the world. Well, let's don't lean on them too much.
India's pretty close.
India. Let's just concentrate on shutting the U.S. economy down by overregulating it in the name of stopping global.
Well, I think they're failing in their effort to scare people for the very reason you said, Tim, is that the scare tactics with these scenarios, we have 10 years left, we have 10 years left.
Right.
People are looking around going, well, why hasn't it hit yet? Plus, I'll tell you something else. People are becoming very suspicious of elites, and you can thank what happened, some of these elites, about what happened during COVID, all the elites telling all the little people, the great unwashed masses, to do this and not do that. Meanwhile, Gavin Newsom shows up at restaurants, no masks, big parties, shows up at football games, SoFi Stadium, without a mask. He said it was, had his mask off just for a picture, but video later showed he had his mask off for the entire game. So people are seeing these elites banging these drums and yet not following their own advice for the rest of us.
I do think that kind of puts a little bit of hypocrisy in there. But I tell you, I'm afraid to say that it doesn't much matter if the people are buying it or not, because they are imposing a ban on gas stoves. They're imposing all these car regulations. They're spending billions of tax dollars to try to interfere with your life and make it impossible to put any kind of consuming. They're not building any power plants anymore. They're not drilling for oil. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. They have the power.
Yeah. All right.
Next story.
All right. All right, I need to caveat this a little bit. There is a, in New Zealand, there is a database administrator who is now a whistleblower. He's saying that the COVID vaccine in New Zealand in specific instances is causing a lot of excess deaths. And he says it's the vaccine, not it wasn't COVID. Or
what's a non-excess death?
Well, if you have...
That means extraordinarily
about,
high.
If you have over 120 deaths in a single day in New Zealand, that's out of the norm. So he counted the number of days it's over 120, and he came up with several. And he's traced the COVID, he's traced the deaths to COVID vaccines. So these are, you're going to hear him talk about batches, which are a number of, when Pfizer in this case sends out vaccines, it sends it out in batches. It makes it in batches, it sends it out. Then it makes another batch, it sends it out. These are now, so the number batches are actually the number that they go in. So the batch number one that he's going to refer to first is the first batch Pfizer put out. And then it goes down. Now, they're low numbers, so the excess deaths happened at the beginning of this. I don't know if they're still happening, but listen to what this guy says. His name...
What's his credentials?
He is... Well, okay, so he's the database administrator. He's a scientist by avocation. But
in New Zealand.
In New Zealand. He is the guy that administers the database for the vaccine rollout. So when somebody gets a shot in New Zealand, the Pfizer has to be paid. He tracks how many vaccines are out there, where they got them, who gave them out, and he knows how much to pay Pfizer. Well, he also noticed some other details, which you're going to hear about now. This is a whistleblower. He calls himself Winston Smith, but that's a pseudonym. He doesn't want to. He's been arrested, by the way, but he doesn't want to. At this point, he didn't want his name out there, cut eight.
And when I was looking at the data, which is part of my job, I noticed some discrepancies with the dates of death, people dying within a week of being vaccinated. So what I did was our internal batch ID, I counted the number of vaccinated within that batch, and then I found out who was dead.
And this is Pfizer's batch number one. We've had 711 from batch number one vaccinated. 152 of those died, which makes a 21%
death rate.
What she's saying is 21% of the people who got that batch of vaccination at that location or on that day, died within 10 days of getting the vaccine.
Do we have any idea of who got that first batch? In other words, were these people who already had, I think we're going to find out a lot of weird stuff happened,
yeah,
like this man is implying happened, but we do need to be careful. And I know we can't answer these questions now, but were these people who are already critically ill, they are in nursing homes, who might have ordinarily had a higher mortality rate? However, it does make you suspicious, because if in earlier batches there was something wrong with the vaccine and then they corrected it. I don't know. This man has been arrested because why?
He's been arrested for breaking into the database. No one is disputing the data he's putting out.
Right.
Except they're just saying, oh, it's misinformation.
Yeah.
But that they always say that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Ed.
Absolutely.
Thanks to Brent Creeley, our producer, and Christopher Woodward, who was on earlier, and Stephen McDowell for being on with us last hour.
Make sure you listen to my Irish podcast. The president of Ireland.
Hope you have a great afternoon. Keep listening to AFR. We'll see you back here tomorrow.